You're listening to the Holistic Travel Nurse. This episode needed to get out today. So I'm dropping it today because I found this today. I have a Telegram account today. Time to reach out to me today. I have a Proton male holistic travel nurse at Proton for safety. I have a Telegram account. Share. Because I'm being censored, share.
So who is this random doctor on stage? I'm Dr. Ryan Cole. I'm a Mayo Clinic trained board certified anatomic pathologist, clinical pathologist, dermatopathologist, way too many years of school. Also did some PhD research in immunology. So immunology, virology is right up my alley. So if you want mechanisms of action and how things work and whatnot, go ahead and pick my brain. Okay, what about the spike protein? We're giving a sequence, a gene sequence, into the bodies of human beings. And this sequence goes into our deltoid, and we're informed that it has a little anchoring protein, and once that is translated and makes a little protein and it's on the surface of your cell, it stays there. Well, guess what? It doesn't. And there are studies, and of course the fact checkers are like, oh, this isn't true. I'm a scientist. Don't ask the journalist, ask the scientist, okay? So this spike protein doesn't stay just in the deltoid. The spike circulates in your blood. It lands in multiple organs in the body. And you know what happens? That spike protein, without the body of the virus present, we did studies in lab animals. In the lab animals, just in injecting the spike, with no body of the virus, the spike induced the same diseases COVID-19 induced, the same lung disease, the same vascular disease, the same heart disease, the same brain disease. The spike is the toxin. So again, why are we injecting something into the human body that is the toxin? It is the toxin. It causes the disease. This isn't a vaccine. Okay, so we know that the virus, everybody's heard about this ACE2 receptor. Here's an example. So on the left-hand side, this is one of the cells that lines your blood vessels. I'll show you a chart in a minute where we have ACE2 receptors. So on the left-hand side, you see kind of in the corner of that upper grid and the bottom grid, these nice smooth lines. On the right-hand side, this is what the spike protein, just the spike alone from the vaccine, is doing to the mitochondria of your cells. That's the engine of your cells. That's what gives you energy, the power of your cells. Compare the left, the smooth, nice, put together. Compare the right, blown apart, fragmented. That's from the vaccine, not from the virus, from the vaccine. Okay, so here's the human body. You can see the plethora of sites where we have ACE2 receptors. Now think about it. I mentioned they tell us, oh gosh, the spike stays in your deltoid. It doesn't. It circulates. In the Harvard study in 13 nurses, they showed it circulating for at least 2 weeks. A lot of people lack something called mRNAs, an enzyme that breaks down the RNA. So it may be circulating for even longer. Now you hear, well, gosh, they died, you know, just so long after the shot. So, you know, it was 2 weeks, 3 weeks, Hank Aaron, whoever. You know what? That spike's circulating. They tried to pull the wool over our eyes and say, well, it couldn't have been the shot. We're too far out. Not if the toxin's still circulating. The spike is the toxin. Damage to the lungs, like I mentioned. On the left-hand side, healthy lung tissue. Nice spaced out. See, this is what pathologists do. We look at all these cells all day long. It's kind of fun. We're nerds this way. On the right-hand side, see how much more purple and blue that is? That's all inflammation. Why? ACE2 receptors in that lung. Spike binding to it. Inflammatory response. Immune system attacking your own body. Disease from the spike. Disease from your own clot shot. Investigational vaccine. They keep lying to the American public by calling it a vaccine. They keep taking the word investigational off. It's what they call it in the emergency authorization. They keep not calling it what it is, investigational, an experiment on humanity. And that's what they're doing, and I'm showing you why. Spike is a toxin, crosses the blood-brain barrier. Kind of like my brain cells to be where they are and not be blown apart, right? So why in the world would we put a toxin into the human body that's going to disrupt the blood vessels in your brain, allow the spike in there, it'll cause inflammation. The brain fog you hear about from the COVID patients, guess what? You hear about it in the post-vaccinated damaged individuals as well. But no, nobody's hurt by the shot. There's not been one death. There's not been one injury. That's what they tell you. It's a lie. And this is science. Okay, here we go. That's all the blue on top. Those are brain cells. All the blue doesn't belong there. That's inflammation from the spike. What about the kiddos? Heart inflammation. Guess what? Lots of ACE2 receptors in the heart. Here you can see on the left-hand side, see those blue arrows around the white? That's inflammation in the heart. That's not normal. That's after a shot. That's a spike protein landing there. That's your immune system attacking your own tissues. See on the right, that's the red arrows. That's the pericardium, the sac that surrounds your heart. That's inflammation. That doesn't belong there. Once you have heart damage, the heart does not heal itself. Okay, left-hand side, all the blue dots, inflammation. See that gray in the middle? That's early scarring. Guess what? Once a heart cell is damaged, it's damaged forever. It doesn't replace itself with another heart cell. It replaces itself with a scar. So you tell me you want to give a 12-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 13-year-old, an 18-year-old a shot, and we see about a 200 times increase in myocarditis in our society right now? That's a good idea. Let's give a kid a toxin, ruin his heart for life. Stop and think about what we're doing. Insanity. We need to stop the insanity immediately. This is over. Game over. This is no longer good science. This is a poisonous attack on our population. And it needs to stop now. Kidney. Same thing. Kidneys are kind of important. Three things in life. Blood goes round and round. Got to breathe. Got to make pee. You don't do those three things, you die. Kidney. You want to damage your kidney with a clot shot? Not a good idea either. Liver. Kind of need your liver to detoxify everything in your life. Same thing. Damage to the liver. See all that blue? That's inflammation. Doesn't belong there. Testes. Kind of important for the next generation, right? As much as that looks like a lovely heart, see all the blue in it? Inflammation. Same thing in the ovaries. Here's the problem. Essentially absent from the literature, what are they hiding from us? Okay. Japanese biodistribution study took some doing to find this study. Dr. Bridle up in Canada, of course, he was attacked for telling the truth. The lipid nanoparticle that surrounds the little mRNA they're injecting into people's bodies. Yes, a lot of it stays in the deltoid, but it circulates as well. Guess where it likes to concentrate? A really biologically active organ, the ovary. And in the Pfizer paperwork and application, it clearly states that in the rats, there was a 16% decrease in fertility. One of the most fertile little critters, mammals on the planet. And these are not the droids you're looking for, never mind. So what's it doing to humanity? Guess what? The answer is, we don't know. Because we don't have long-term safety data yet. That's the tragedy and the crime in all of this. They're pushing it. It's an experiment. It's emergency authorized. It's not approved. We don't. Humanity is the phase 3 trial. COVID's a clotting disease, as some of my colleagues have mentioned. After a shot, we as physicians, especially if patients complaining of post-vaccine symptoms, a D-dimer will go up when we have clots. We can't see these clots on x-ray or scan. These are microclots. All these inflammatory patterns that I'm showing you are from microclots as well. If we look at this in the patients, we know that they're microclotting. So this is something Dr. Nordhausen, just like Dr. Ursa mentioned, patient who has already had COVID, COVID recovered, broad, beautiful immunity. They're lying to you to say that it's not equal to a vaccine immunity. I love the blue pen rainbow analogy Dr. Urso gave. Screened before vaccine, there's a multiple-fold increase risk of adverse reactions. If you've had COVID and are recovered, you get a shot, you hyper-rev that immune system, you may be screwed and or dead. All right, I'm going to reiterate, one cannot find that for which they do not look. Billions of dollars spent on advertising of, again, a toxin into the human body. Investigational vaccines. Again, I will say to our agencies, our federal government, where's the funding for real science? They don't want you to see what we're seeing. In the laboratory, I have the tissues of a dead man on the back of my desk. I have two more coming next week. Guess what? Just a couple days after a shot. 50-year-old healthy triathlete. one of my favorite surgeons in town that I worked with, second shot, mountain biking gone. All right, the other concern I already brought up, we have no long-term safety data. This is what we need to emphasize to society and ask the authoritative agencies. What's the risk for cancer after the shot? We don't know. What's the risk for autoimmune disease? We don't know. What's the risk for impairing fertility for a lifetime? We don't know. So why in the world will we willy-nilly push forward at the pace and the rate that we're going without knowing these things? Complete anti-science and a complete attack on us. No more mandatory forcing of employees. How in the world are these hospitals and these employers saying, you can't work for me if you don't sign up to be a subject in an experiment on humanity? Go back to the 1947 Nuremberg Code. We're absolutely violating this as a nation and a people. Where are the billions to do the autopsies? Where are the billions to prove the science? Where are the autopsies? I will go back. Crickets. They're not there. Dismissal by the collusive media of any adverse events or death. That's a problem. And what happened to the concept of the Me Too movement? Believe everybody. What happened to believe her? Believe the story. What happened to believe anyone? Why won't they believe the science? They won't believe the science. They dismiss the science. What happened to this movement of believe it until you can disprove it? Gone. Gone. All right, a couple side-by-side notes. Really critically, and I'm almost out of time, what we're seeing in the laboratory is the shots dysregulate your immune response. We have very important cells that keep other viruses in check, that keep cancers in check. There's a type of cell called a CD8 killer T cell. Well, there's a study out of Germany and the Netherlands that showed a shifted immune profile. And at the end, their conclusion was, we see a concerning pattern of the cells we normally need to fight off these other things. But the answer is, we don't know for how long that shifted pattern lasts. It's like having eight blockers on the front line. This is Texas, we can talk football. Having eight blockers on the front line and paralyzing three or four of them. But the answer is, we don't know if they're paralyzed for the rest of the game or the rest of their career. And then what we see from this in the laboratory is an uptick of herpes family viruses, molluscum, human papillomavirus, all sorts of viruses, mononucleosis, etc., reactivating. Reactivating at levels, and I'm a pathologist, so we see this in the laboratory, and I'm seeing the early signal. Well, guess what else that CD8 cell does? And some receptors on some of these T cells called toll-like receptors, and there's a certain pattern of them. They keep cancer in check. I have seen a 10 to 20-fold increase of uterine cancer in the last 6 months in my laboratory. And I keep data year to year to year. In the last 6 months, when did we start the shots? January. How much solid tumor cancer increase are we going to see over the next several years? Probably a lot. What's the real answer? We don't know. And sometimes that's the most honest answer in medicine, is we don't know. A doctor that tells you he or she knows everything, don't believe him. Find a new doctor. Increase of latent viruses, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, I know I'm out of time for questions. Thank you so much, and God bless.
Okay, I just happened to find that, and I'm like, oh, man, oh, man. This is going to, if you want to see the slides and you're a science geek, I share it all on my Telegram. You can find me on Telegram. And I appreciate you sharing my podcast. I appreciate you sharing the word. And I appreciate you standing in the gap and in the fight. I'm going to do one just for the mother bears. There's so many good videos about mamas standing up at schools. So, mamas, this is for you. You need to stand up and fight for your kids and your next generation of kids. It freaks me out hearing this because I have people I know who've taken it. And so if you know people who've taken it and you get freaked out listening to this, I'm there with you. So, anywho, let's get to the next one here in a second.
And Karen is in the world of medical research and analysis. And Karen, it's great to have you on, sharing with us about your situation in this COVID-19 pandemic world. Thanks for being on.
Thank you for having me on, Michael. I appreciate it. I'm a big admirer and fan of Canada. I spent a couple summers up in Toronto consulting for a company to do the integration for the large marketing, digital marketing, omnichannel. So I love it up there. I met a lot of great people. And my son is half Canadian too. So yeah.
That's awesome. And then you live in California. Is that correct, Karen?
Yeah, I do. I live in San Diego.
Okay. So like you're in ground zero of the American over response to the entire situation. You're like right. I'm in the belly of the beast in Canada, and you're in the belly of the beast in the U.S. So I'm interested.
Yeah, we were the first to lock down. We are the most strict on the mask mandates. And yesterday they just declared they strongly encourage every employer to mandate the vaccines.
Okay, so Karen, tell us a little bit about your professional career and what got you speaking out against these mandates that are going on in order to respond to the pandemic.
Sure. Yeah. So I started my career right out of college in Pfizer. I used to volunteer in hospitals, pharmacies, and AIDS clinics. And that's how I learned about this role called being a pharmaceutical drug rep. And so I worked at Pfizer, I worked downtown Manhattan. I got to work a lot with people in marketing just because I was right there, you know, where Pfizer's headquarters were. And I was just quickly recruited to the marketing agency side of the business. And when I moved to California, I started my own consulting business and agency, and Pfizer was a client of mine, as was Johnson & Johnson and Medtronic and Allergan and a lot of the big companies and many startups. And I have a very unique skill set. I do attribute a lot of it to what I learned at Pfizer. It was an amazing experience. The training was very intense, what we went through. And I worked with an incredible team on the marketing side. But my skill set involved into not just doing marketing messaging, but actually analyzing the legal landscape, FDA federal regulation, IP landscape, going through the patents, and then also taking a look at and helping with your marketing claims for your phase 3 filings, as well as your initial new drug application. And then taking that all together and looking at communication trends with consumers and with physicians and the best way to package that up and communicate with people. So what a lot of people don't know is what a pharmaceutical company can say to you is based only on two things. It's based on what they submitted to the FDA in their phase 3 trial, and it's based on federal law and FDA regulations.
Okay, so, you know, I'm listening to your credentials and I'm sitting here going, what would turn someone who is a pharmaceutical rep who literally, you know, takes the information from the pharmaceutical company that they have to work with and then figures out how to market that to the public?
Well, I was a rep like well over 20 some odd years ago.
But you put your company, and it's been around pharmaceuticals, and in many respects, it was a positive situation. So,
there's no lie. The money's tremendous. You're paid very well in all aspects of the field. Yeah. So it's a very lucrative industry. And you're well taken care of. I remember when, Nick Mosbrook, who may rest in peace. I mean, what he said, you know, working with Pfizer or for Pfizer, it's kind of like having a very wealthy father. Like you might not be rich yourself with the money in the bank account, but you'll never have to worry about anything. But with their stock programs, there's many, many, many millionaires, many thousands and thousands of millionaires are made at Pfizer.
So then why are we talking about you being concerned about what happened over the last 18 months? Why don't you tell me about what happened in your personal life to make you want to speak out about what's going on?
Sure. So I've always been unapologetic in speaking the truth and in speaking out what is right and wrong based on law. You know, I mean, we all have our own interpretations of what's right and wrong, but there are specific laws that actually regulate this industry. So, you know, as I became a consultant over the years, I mean, I'm not always popular because I call companies out as when they're doing things that aren't adherent to the law or to what they filed with the FDA. I'm called, you know, I'm often called when people are between a rock and a hard place. They want to avoid dissolving a company or being fined hundreds of millions of dollars. So that's what it's kind of evolved into. So that being said, when I was following the vaccines, we all saw it, right? The countries were all, the globe was shut down. I knew in March of last year that we're being set up for a rollout of a vaccine from Big Pharma. It's like a chess game. You could just see it coming. I was expecting them to announce a vaccine coming out in January of 2023 or maybe December of 2022. I wasn't expecting this warp speed to bring it out so quickly. And, you know, I started looking at the EUA emergency use authorization guidelines, and, you know, they basically threw out all the risk mitigation strategies in order to bring things out faster. And I was very uncomfortable with that. But then when they announced they were going to start injecting children as young as 12 years of age and then doing studies in infants as young as 6 months, it was like an anchor was put around my heart. And I felt a calling to look into this because I knew it wasn't safe. It couldn't be safe based on how fast it was brought to market. I also knew that we were told the spike protein was caused the cytokine storm and the inflammation and the damage in so many people that died, and also caused multi-inflammatory syndrome in children. So, you know, to be told that a synthetic mRNA is going to produce billions of spike protein in your body, I was like, that's a really bad idea, and a really bad idea for children who have an overreactive innate immune response. And that's when I started looking into things. And the first thing I went to was the phase 3 filings for Pfizer to see how their studies were conducted and what they can and cannot claim. And everything we're being told is a lie based on what they were able to quote unquote prove in their studies.
Can you elaborate on that with any more specificity as far
sure.
as, you know, like you're looking at the study?
We were deceived, right? And so, as a Christian, we know the devil exists, and before he destroys, he deceives. He deceives by taking elements of truth and manipulating them into lies. So, with the phase 3 trials, there's many things that we were lied about. One, in the U.S., we were told that these were the U.S. phase 3 trials, when in fact, 85% of the people that participated and the studies were done outside of the U.S. They were done in Turkey. They were done in South Africa. They were done in Germany. And I believe Brazil was another one of the countries. So that's the first lie. So we don't know how they conduct studies in other countries. We don't know what the ethical and moral conduct is there. I'm not saying Americans are superior in any way, but we do believe we have strict oversight in regards to our ethical boards and how we oversee this stuff in the United States. Another lie was the 95% efficacy. They never proved 95% of efficacy in how we understand it. We believe 95% efficacy is if 100 people get vaccinated, 95% of them won't get the virus. Well, what they did was they just had to prove that they were more effective than placebo. So 1 week after the second dose, 169 people in the placebo group out of 22,000 tested positive for COVID-19. You can't test positive for symptoms, so that makes no sense. Right. And 9 people in the vaccine group tested positive. So when you run the numbers, that means you have like a 0.88% chance of contracting the disease in the placebo group and a 0.04% in the vaccine group. So the risk reduction isn't 95%. The risk reduction is 0.84%, something like that. So 95% of the people had a reduction in risk of about 1% in contracting the disease just for 1 week after their second dose. That's not effective. That's not any measurement of efficacy. And under the emergency use authorization, which was passed as part of the CARES Act under Obama, an emergency use authorization product doesn't need to prove to be effective. It just may be effective. So they had statistical significance to show that they may be effective, but they never proved efficacy. So that was another lie. And the FDA, even if they had proved efficacy, which they didn't, the FDA still can't say that they're safe and effective. Another lie is that we were told they were safe. This is a tremendous lie because they didn't do animal studies. They did two hamster studies. They did one monkey study, and they signed a letter of intent to do the pregnancy studies on rats. And if that doesn't upset you, check your soul. And so that was another big lie. Plus, on October 22nd, 2020, the FDA met, and they went over all of the potential serious adverse events that could happen from mRNA vaccines, including Guillain-Barré, including encephalitis, which is inflammation of the brain, including inflammation of the spine, including myocarditis and pericarditis, inflammation of the heart, including death, CNS complications. Another thing is they put out a document in regards to safety. We're being told that being vaccinated prevents infecting others, and it's a disease of the unvaccinated, right? Because we're getting infecting others. Well, there's a thing called shedding, and it's a real thing. And in August of 2015, the FDA put together a document on viral gene-based therapies on shedding and transmission. That's what this is. And they specifically say when you have a product that uses a real or synthetic protein, which is what mRNA is, gene therapy, and then it produces a protein or a virion particle, which is the spike protein in your body, those people who are producing that spike protein are infectious. They can infect other people. It's literally called shedding. And the production of that spike protein is called progeny. So progeny is when the mRNA penetrates your cells, your CD4, CD8 cells, and then starts proliferating the spike protein. So these people are getting infected with the spike protein. And what they're supposed to do is figure this out in the animal studies first, and then they still can move forward to the phase one trials, which is only 20 to 80 people. And they have to figure out quarantine measures so that the people that are vaccinated don't infect the unvaccinated. They never did that.
Can I ask you a point of clarification on that?
Yeah.
What you're telling me is to move from animal studies and into phase one study, with all of the information that you've just shared that they have produced and that the FDA regulates, they would actually have to set up a quarantined location for the early studies so that those who are vaccinated would not spread the virus.
So they would do it in animals first. So they don't quarantine the animals first. What they do is like, they would inject the monkeys, let's say they're monkeys, I think that's a common thing, or mice. The humanized mice are most common for these type of studies. And they would inject one and then put that mouse in a social group and then test the other mice to see if they're infected and for how long, and kind of do all those studies. And when they got to the human studies, they would still inject people who are healthy. They don't have the disease. It's usually healthy young adults. It's usually college students, to be quite honest. It's usually
right.
College kids.
Yep, trying to make it back.
Yeah, and those college students would be given very strict instructions about who they can and cannot interact with, which Pfizer did do in their FDA phase one trial. So let me explain that. So they went on and completed phase three before they completed phase one safety and started injecting millions of people in America and billions around the globe. In the phase one trial for the shedding study, if you were a male and you were sexually active, you were not allowed to be sexually active with a woman who could potentially bear a child. And if you were, you had to use two forms of protection, period. You were not allowed to be, and if she became pregnant, she had to talk to the safety board straight away. You were not allowed to touch a pregnant woman or be in the same room with her or breathe near her. If you did, you had to report it to the safety board right away. If you were a woman of childbearing age and not using protection to not become pregnant, you were not allowed to participate in the study. That's normal for phase one. Everything I said about the men is not normal. That's because of shedding, and they didn't know how this would, we now know that the spike protein, not only does it go throughout, normally it just binded to the lungs or the kidneys or the heart with the original SARS-CoV-2, but now we know through these shedding studies and autopsies that men and women can shed it through bodily fluid too, but men can infect people through their sperm.
So you looked at phase three first, but had they already done phase one? Like, can you just walk through the timeline of when they did the different studies?
Sure. So what they're supposed to do, let me see if I can pull up some slides to help me through this. So when I first became aware that they were going to start injecting children, the first thing I wanted to do was look at the phase three data that was filed with the FDA. And typically, a manufacturer would submit phase three after they did their preclinical studies in mice and in vitro studies, which is done in like petri dishes. You can also do it with artificial intelligence. And then they'd read phase one and two. And what I was alarmed to find out was not only the findings in the phase three trials, but a lot of the phases had been skipped. So the FDA puts together this infographic where you can see you're supposed to go from phase one, so there's drug development, and then you do animal testing, and then you do an IND application, which is your initial new drug application. And in that application, you map out risks that you saw in the animals and whatnot, and you also map out how you're going to conduct your phase one and two trials and a top line outline of phase three, because that doesn't really get solidified till you get your phase one and two results. And then, you know, before you go to market, you develop the drug labeling, they review the application, there's facility inspections, and then you go and you launch this to the entire country or you know, some other nations. But this is basically what the process is supposed to look like. But what is so alarming that this process is in place for a very specific reason, and I put it up here, it's to avoid unnecessary risks and harm and death in order to optimize patient health. That's why you start with petri dishes and vitro testing, artificial intelligence, then move on to animals, and then you even stop animal studies if too many of the animals are suffering or dying, right? You don't continue to do those studies. We do want to minimize suffering, and then you do human studies in small healthy groups of 20 or 80 individuals, and then phase two is 200 or 300 in those individuals that have the disease state before you go into phase three. But what happened, I don't have the slide to show you right now. What happened is in 2016, under the Obama Cares Act, there was a lot of things that were overruled under an EUA, of which was you could go straight to first in human studies if you had done minimal animal studies and showed minimal risk. You also could just maybe effective. The other thing, though, that was so, they're all alarming, but one thing that really just made my heart drop was that you completely skipped that phase of consumer good manufacturing processes. So not only do you not inspect the facilities, but the facilities don't have to do their internal quality control within their labs before releasing a product. And we'll go into that in some more detail. That came to my awareness when I was looking at the phase three data, and I noticed the CGMP section, the manufacturing section on Pfizer's phase three submission was redacted. And I'll show you a screenshot of that. So the reason why this is such a horror show is because what Pfizer and BioNTech did together, Johnson & Johnson and Janssen, and then Moderna and the NIH, you know, is their partner, is they did everything at the same time. They didn't complete their animal studies, and they filed their initial new drug application where they put together their designs for phase one, two, and three all together. So you're supposed to complete the animal studies before you even do an IND. They never did that. So this is all going along at the same time. The inspect manufacturing facilities never got done. The drug labeling was never fully completed. If you look at the healthcare provider fact sheet, the ones going back, the last time I checked it was in July. In July, they did not include the ingredients. That is a violation of informed consent. It's a violation of Section 564. Healthcare providers weren't even told what were in these vaccines, never mind patients or subject matters, because it's an experiment. So that was a huge violation. One of the other things we want to talk about too is not just the violation through this alleged authorization process. And by the way, authorization means that you just gave someone the authority to do something. It doesn't mean that they earned the authority to do it. It was just granted under a crisis situation. Approval means it was proven safe to be safe and effective. Authority is just, again, it's a crisis situation. And I think there's like situations where a civilian can have the authority to act on behalf of the police, but that's not an ongoing normal thing that you would ever do. So I just want to be clear about that. You would normally go through, to be a police officer, you'd normally go through training and whatnot. So that's a similar situation that came here. So it's actually insane that that the FDA gave authorization to these experimental gene genetic agents, biological agents that have been proven to be pathogenic, which means they cause harm.
So just to make sure I understand the slide correctly and how you've explained it, all three of these arrows were happening at the same time?
Yes, they're all at the same time, which is why you can still see as you go down here, phase three, this is still ongoing. Phase three is a 2-year trial. It's not done. And what's alarming about in January 2021, Pfizer unblinded their placebo group. Not only did they do that, they injected them with the vaccine. So it was annihilated. There's no control group. There's no statistical or clinical significance that can ever be proven out of these studies, ever. Anyone that took science in sixth or seventh grade knows that. You need a control group. They annihilated the control group on purpose. And they did that with Moderna and J&J as well. So phase three is not done, and it's supposed to go on for 2 years, yet somehow the FDA says in September 15th of this year they're going to give approval. Well, the studies didn't even start till July of last year. They couldn't have finished recruitment within, like, 90 days would have been the fastest, which I guess they did, since they submitted in November for the first studies. But so you have November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September. You have 11 months of data. You're supposed to have at least 2 years of data in phase three and at least 4 or 5 years in phases one and two. And phase one and two are still going on. They've completed some of the phases, but not all of them. And phase four, there's no such thing as a phase. There's no such thing really as phase four. So when people say we're in a phase four study, that's hooicky, because that means that phases one, two, and three were completed. We are simply participating in a global experiment for a pathogenic genetic agent that we don't know what the outcome's going to do, but so far it's been proven to do nothing but poison, harm, and kill people. And we can go into details as to why that's happening, but that's all it's really been shown to prove so far. And we can go through the FDA data that shows that it was never proven to be effective. So I mentioned one of the alarming things that was in their filings too, was that this is the good manufacturing processes, procedures, and inspections for Pfizer, and it's redacted. So that not only did they not inspect the facility, we're not given any information about the facility, we're not given any information about the quality control checks to make sure that the formulations are correct and checked in the labs and aren't going to be toxic to people. So there's nothing.
And this is completely abnormal in your experience in this industry.
This is completely abnormal and unconscionable. The reason why we have the Food and Drug Administration Consumer Protection Act is to protect American citizens from manufacturers pushing unproven therapies, whether they're gene or genetic agents or any other kind of concoction, on the American people that can result in unnecessary harm, risk, and death. But under the Obama CARES Act in 2016, they under emergency use authorization, they said most of those protocols that are in place to protect the American people could be thrown out. It's completely reckless. Congress should have never passed it.
So you reviewed phase three and then you realized all of these things.
I reviewed phase three and then I couldn't understand how they did the efficacy studies. So I went back to phase one, to the IND. And in the IND, they explained how they calculated efficacy. They didn't explain it in the phase three study.
Okay, so I'd like you to go listen to the whole thing. That's just part of it. It's hard to find some of these stuff. The censorship is so great. So if you want to listen to the whole thing, it's in my group in my Telegram. And so I hope that you join that and then you do your own digging. And these are the hard things to put out and talk about right now, but we need to. And we need to be prayerful, and we need to be cautious, and we need to be careful what is being said and what's not being said. I'm very cautious about turning on my TV and watching any NBC, ABC, all those corrupt organizations. Fox, CNN is probably one of the top. I'm done with trying to open people's eyes up to the truth. If they aren't open, then I don't know. They're in for a big hurt. And those that are our eyes opened, we need to prepare and we need to love others. There's another video that this other pathologist, I'm not going to play it on this one. I'll play it on another one. It's really, really deep. And he drops a bomb. So thanks for listening. I hope that this is helpful for you and that maybe you can share it. Maybe we can do some good with this. And thanks for supporting my podcast.